I'm Steve Dawson, and this is This Comedian's Life, a podcast where we talk to a variety of funny people about their lives in comedy. This week, I talked to actor Patrick Renna, who made a name for himself acting in movies like Son-in-Law, The Big Green, and The Sandlot. Born and raised in Boston, Patrick told me about his move to Los Angeles to get his start in show business.
My mom knew that I wanted to do it, and I went to boarding school in Oregon for a couple of years, and then, yeah, when I hit my teens, she had a job opportunity out here, and so I moved down with her.
And wasn't your mom your manager for the beginning part of your acting career?
Yeah, actually not in the beginning.
Okay.
She was always my mom first. I don't know, it's kind of hard to even say
no, totally.
Manager or not, but she's just always has and always and still is a sounding board for me for anything. But yeah, early on she helped me so much. You know, as when you're young, your family is very important because they're the ones that have to drive you to the auditions and pick you up and take you to the jobs. And, you know, my stepdad was the one who was in Utah with me for The Sandlot, and a really good family friend was with me in Visalia, which is Northern California, for Son-in-Law. And I don't even remember who was there. I think my mom was there for The Big Green, which is a soccer movie I did in Austin. But then as I got older, I remember doing a movie in Romania, and I think I was 17, so I still needed a guardian, but then I just had a buddy of mine come with me. So,
and he posed as your guardian.
Yeah, exactly. I think he lost all the money I paid him in the casinos in Romania, so he wasn't doing much guarding or, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's hard,
overseeing.
Too. And it's hard, too, because, you know, I was an actor. I moved to Chicago at 19 to be an actor, and my parents were so supportive of it. And I could tell you a dozen of my friends who wanted to be actors, and their parents were like, not so fast.
Yeah. Well, it's such a commitment for the mother and father and brothers and sisters, you know, it's
right.
Cause it's not, you know, you see a movie and you don't realize, even as an actor who's been doing it for over 20 years, you still forget how much goes into one movie, you know, or even a scene. So just all of that behind the scenes work and running lines and everything that falls on your family when you're young.
What was your first big break, Patrick? Obviously, people know you from The Sandlot. God knows I do. I watched it only 17,000 times growing up. But was that your first big thing, or were there steps leading up to that movie?
No, pretty much. It was crazy. I moved out here, and my first agent is a very well-known youth agent, Judy Savage, and mm-hmm. she was awesome. And, you know, she definitely like to manage expectations for young people. So she was like, hey, when you start, don't be surprised if you don't work for a bit, kind of thing. And I went out. Sandlot was my second audition. So I scored. I hit it, you know, I fully
That's
scored.
That's amazing, and, man.
Yeah. And it, then I did Son-in-Law pretty soon after. And I wasn't really used to how difficult of an industry it was. I think it wasn't until maybe my teens and late teens that I really started to see Hollywood for what it really is, you know?
Right.
Not even
tough.
In a bad way.
Sure.
Yeah.
But just it's just
like,
tough.
Yeah. It's a grind. It's not, you know, it's work. It's a actors work their butt off and actors and actresses and directors and producers. And it's a business, and you know, you're the ones who succeed are the ones that kick ass.
The Sandlot is one of the most iconic baseball movies of all time. I couldn't help myself, and I had to ask Patrick about his legendary line of dialogue in the film and what he thinks about it today. It's one thing to be a part of an iconic movie and then to have the iconic line of "You're killing me, Smalls." That must get annoying, Patrick. It must be, and I almost hate to bring it up, but
no, you know, I think the director of Sandlot said it the best, which is, you know, he tells this funny story about a family coming up to him and stopping him and grabbing him and shaking him and going, "You have no idea. You have no idea." And he's like, "What do I have no idea about?" And they literally just keep saying, "You have no idea. what your movie meant to our family. And he's like, and then when you hear that, it makes it all worth it, you know? So I think as long as people are pleasant,
right.
are good humans, it never gets old. You get to meet new people and, you know, when people are dicks, sure. but I think that's in anything anyone does. When there are, you know, hurtful people, it's not that fun to be around. But most of the time, 80% of the people you meet, you know, are wonderful. And it's an honor to know that you've changed someone's life or their family's lives or whatever, you know.
It's cool, too, I always think that being a part of, not only being a part of a big movie, but also being a part of a sports baseball movie, which is by far my favorite sport, is baseball your favorite sport, too, Patrick, growing up in Boston? I would imagine it's such a huge
sport. It's definitely the sport, you know, I'm 5'7", so basketball wasn't, although I have a pretty crazy J. these days, the sport I play now is basketball, but growing up, of course, I played baseball all the time, and that was it. I think that probably adds to the whole nostalgia of Sandlot. Is I was listening to the radio out in here, and the sportscaster is just saying how nostalgic of a sport baseball is. And anytime anyone ever talks about baseball, you can't get three lines out without talking about Mickey Mantle or Babe Ruth, and no other sport is like that. You know, it's not like I think the fact that sport is so nostalgic really made Sandlot the next level.
Patrick has kept busy in film and television over the years. Recently, Patrick starred in and produced the independent film Bad Roomies. Patrick talked to me about the challenges of being both an actor and producer.
We kind of always, you know, I just was sort of, God, I would love to just make a movie. Like, you know, the guy's name's Mooney. Mooney, you write it, and then Savas and I will be in it. And then over the years, Tommy and a couple other guys did worked with this guy, Jason Schnell, who's the director of Reckless Tortuga, and it's a pretty decent-sized online YouTube channel. So when that piece kind of came in, I was like, okay, guys, you direct, we can do this. And,
right.
You know, we had someone that, you know, we did a little bit on Kickstarter, and then we had someone lucky enough that was willing to fund the rest. And you know, it was our first crack at a feature, and it was ultra low budget, you know, so we didn't make it for a lot of money, and I'm pretty proud of what we were able to do for next to no money. You know, I think as long as when you watch it, you know, you recognize that and remember that we had literally nothing, then I think it's kind of, you know, something to be proud of. You know what I mean?
I mean,
putting it up next to Revenant, forget about it. But,
I think people think that from the outside world, quote unquote, that making movies, if you have any kind of recognition, is an easy business.
No, it's not. I mean, and producing is, I mean, that was one of the hardest. It was one of the most rewarding things that I did. But, you know, we got a sales agent at the end of it and got distribution from The Orchard. And I mean, we hit the jackpot on independent filmmaking. Mm-hmm. But it was so, so difficult, both sides. And acting and producing, you know, I don't know that I would do that again. I don't know that I'd be the
gig.
I don't know that I'd be the lead of a movie and produce in that budget range again. If it was a much higher budget range, I probably would, because then you could, you know, hire a bunch of other producers to help you. But
sure.
that was pretty difficult when you're trying to stay focused on a scene and then all of a sudden someone's like, you know, the craft service table broke. Oh my God, you know.
And all of a sudden that's your problem.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, that's a bit extreme of a circumstance, but things like that, you know, being concerned that the footage is actually going to get transferred into three different places and or your whole day is ruined. And, you know, you're like, that's quite an experience.
Patrick said some of the best auditioning advice he ever heard came from actor Bryan Cranston. Afterward, Patrick shared an audition story he has never told publicly before.
You go into this audition room and in front of all these producers and you show them and you perform for them. You do your performance, what you want to bring to it. And when that's done, you walk out of that room and you let it go. And you never think about it again. Because at that moment, when you walk out, it's completely out of your hands. And it's so true. And having been on the other side in the casting process, it's so true. We saw so many different men and women that were so talented and they left and were like, they were so good, but they just weren't quite what we're looking for. And And that's what really stuck with me. And it kind of inspires you to keep going. And it sort of puts you at like the position of power, because you're going in there and you're giving your performance. So if they don't like it, screw them. You know, you know, in a nice way. I mean,
absolutely. But that's just it. We see
Spielberg on the other side, definitely nothing but, you know, did you like it? But you know what I mean? Like, that's sort of the idea. And even if it was someone as amazing and talented as Steven Spielberg, you have to let it go after. And he's either going to like what you did or not. And, you know, he's the best of all time, but he might not like it for so many reasons. And there's nothing you can do about that. So. Anyway, I thought that was a great piece of advice that just sort of, for actors really specifically, is like, you go in and you do you, and then you move on.
What's the most intimidating audition you've ever been on?
You know, I had an audition for someone, a pretty famous comedian.
Okay.
And I love him. It's Cedric the Entertainer, I'll just say it, because
sure.
He's so great. And I did one of the worst auditions ever.
Sorry to laugh. I'm not laughing.
No. It literally, I've never told this story, actually. But I did, so this will be my apology to Cedric the Entertainer if he ever sees this. But I did such a bad job, and I was really nervous, I think, being in there. And it was in, like, sort of a bit of a theater, and I was on a stage, and so the lighting was a little tough, and I think just knowing he was in the audience, because you don't audition for these type of people very often, especially now it's a lot on tape. Anyway, halfway through I just stopped myself and I looked at him and I was like, this is awful. I'm just gonna get out of here. And I don't think that went over too well, but I at least I just couldn't keep doing a bad job in front of him, you know. So I just sort of ended it myself, and they didn't say no, so I went, okay, yeah, we'll move on. But I'd love another crack at auditioning for him, because I think he's hilarious. But that was probably the most intimidating.
That's great. Speaking of intimidation, you were in a movie with James Earl Jones.
Yes.
That's crazy.
But I was also 13, so.
Did you know who he was when you were filming?
No, I also didn't know who Karen Allen was. I didn't know who Dennis Leary was. I mean, I would be shaking in my boots with all three of them. I mean, someone came up and said, that's the voice of Darth Vader. And then we kind of all started freaking out.
Sure.
But, yeah, you know, there was also supposed to be a scene in Sandlot where all of us did a scene with James Earl Jones.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think that for timing purposes, and probably because we were all so rambunctious, the director went, you know what, this is James Earl Jones. I'm going to settle this down a bit and just give him Benny and Smalls. Because I'm sure we were all being real obnoxious.
Breaking stuff around the...
Yeah, breaking stuff in front of an acting legend. Because we had no idea, you know?
Thanks to Patrick Renna for joining us this week. Patrick's film Bad Roomies is available on iTunes and Amazon. To get the latest information about Patrick, you can follow him on Twitter by searching @PatrickRenna. Thank you for joining us. I'm Steve Dawson for This Comedian's Life.